So encouraging, isn't it? So encouraging to hear people's stories, to hear the stories of God's faithfulness to Tim and Bronwyn. And they've been through lots of ups and downs, and they would say that themselves, particularly the 10 years in Mozambique. Lots of big ups and lots of big downs, but God's been faithful to them. God's kept them, carried them through, and it's great to hear their testimony to God's faithfulness through everything they've been through. And we all go through ups and downs, don't we? Just not exactly the same as Tim and Bronwyn, but we all have ups and downs in life. We have big ups and big downs, big life events. We have births of children, and we have deaths of loved ones. We have marriages. We have breakups of relationships. The kind of big life events that we mark in the calendar, we all go through those, and we have to work out how to live through them. There's the big things, and there's the small things as well. There's the small life events that we go through day by day. We mentioned earlier, last weekend, Easter weekend, was a great time. For me, that was a high. It was a great weekend. Sun was shining. We had a great service here. Had the carnival on Monday. And then on Tuesday, it was back to school. And it's back to the daily grind. And it's back to waking up and getting kids ready and not having enough time for everything you need to do. And it's relentless. There's ups and there's downs. And maybe you're experiencing that, you're feeling that right now. So one thing that particularly stood out for me from chatting to Tim and Bronwyn and hearing about their story and what God's done in their lives was this idea, this sense of having a purpose, having something that they've got on their hearts that God's called them to, a way that God wants them to share in his mission. For Bronwyn, that was having a real heart for street children and poverty and wanting to care for children. For Tim, that was a real heart for unreached peoples. But having that sense of purpose, and I think they would say that kept them going when it was hard, when it wasn't all straightforward. So I'd like to just think about that for a few moments this afternoon before we finish. This idea that this purpose, this calling, being on mission with God can keep us going. I want to do that by turning to John chapter 20. So if you've got a Bible, please turn to John 20. If you've got one of these black Bibles, it's on page 907. We actually looked at this passage in our life groups this week. In our life group on Thursday, you may have looked at it on yours, in your group. We were talking about the resurrection in life groups, and we read this passage together and talked about it, and I was thinking about it more and thinking, yeah, there's some things that we need to hear that God wants to say to us through this passage this afternoon. So John 20, we're going to look at just one verse actually, verse 21, but we'll read from verse 19 to get a bit of context. So Jesus has just died, and he's just risen. That's where we are in John's gospel. The disciples, Peter and John, have been to the tomb. Mary and some other women have been to the tomb as well and seen it empty. Mary has met Jesus. The disciples haven't yet. Okay, so the disciples are there, and they're in a room. They're locked in a room because they're afraid. Now, the disciples have had highs and lows as well in their walk with Jesus, like we all do. And I'd say this probably ranks as one of the lowest points. They're afraid, they're confused, they haven't got what Jesus was talking about. They don't know what's going on. One thing they do know is that Jesus has just been killed, and the people who got him know that we're his followers. So they're locked away, they're afraid. And let's pick up in verse 19 of John chapter 20. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. It's just what they needed. They were locked away, they were afraid. What they needed was to know that Jesus was alive. And he comes and he appears to them, he shows them his hands and his side, he reassures them, says, "Don't worry, it's really me, it's not a ghost." And then he says to them, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." Now, that was a standard greeting they would have used in those days. Salaam alaikum. It's still used today in the Middle East. But that word peace would have meant far more than just a normal greeting to the disciples. Peace refers to it's okay. Everything's well. And it's all going to be okay. It's the word that was used to describe the state of complete wholeness and well-being in the future kingdom. The kingdom God's going to bring. The new heavens and the new earth. That's where peace is. Right? And Jesus comes to them and he says, "Peace, peace be with you. It's okay. Everything's going to be okay. I'm alive and I'm bringing in the new kingdom that God's been promising all this time. It's happening. It's happening and it's here and I'm bringing it in. I'm alive. Peace be with you. It's just what they needed to hear. But what he says next in verse 21 is, I think, surprising. I think it's not what they would have been expecting, and it's not what we expect. Verse 21, Jesus says to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." It's surprising because I think that's not what we think of. Peace isn't what we think of when we think of mission. When we think of God sending us on a mission, we think of fear, risk, uncertainty. It's a scary thing, going out and doing something God's called us to do. But Jesus says, he says, "Peace be with you," and off you go. I'm here, all's well, I've got a mission for you. In the same breath. And here's the point. Being on mission with Jesus, it's part of the new life he's called us into. It's part of the life he's intended for us on this earth. And it's not a scary, it is scary, but it's not something that's meant to weigh us down or be a burden. It's actually being on mission with Jesus is the thing that keeps us going when things are hard. It's the thing that keeps us going through ups and downs. That was Tim and Bronwyn's experience. It was being on mission with Jesus, knowing that what they were doing was what he'd called them to, that kept them going. It's a bit like a few years ago, Hannah and I were on holiday and we were staying in this place where there's a kind of a bay, and it was a bit secluded before we had children, right? So we could do what we wanted. And there was a little boat trip being offered in this bay. You know, the kind of thing where people offer to take you out for however many euros a day and show you the sights and you can jump off and do snorkeling and whatever. And we thought that'd be fun to do, a fun way to explore the bay. So we went out and it was quite sort of sheltered. So nice calm seas. We thought, great. So we paid the money, went off. And it was lovely for the first hour or two. We got off the boat, did a bit of snorkeling, saw some little fish. And the captain of the boat said, "Right, I'm going to take you to another little beach cove on the other side of the bay. We're going across a little area that's not so sheltered, so the waves might get a bit big, but don't worry, it'll be fine." And he wasn't lying. The waves were huge, and it wasn't a big boat. So the boat was going up and really like high and low, and it was the kind of thing where you hold onto the rails because you were actually afraid. I was afraid at a number of points that the boat would fall over. It didn't, thankfully. The captain didn't know what he was doing. But I remembered the advice I've been given when you're in that kind of situation. Keep your eyes on the horizon. Find a fixed point and look at it, and that helps. It keeps you going through the sickness. Right? That's what's going on here. If you have a vision for what God's called you to do, if you know your purpose, if you're on mission with Jesus and you keep your eyes on that, that can keep you going through the ups and downs, through the storms of life. Now, we may not realize it, but Jesus has a mission for every one of his followers. And he has a mission for you, if you're his follower. These words he speaks in John 20 are not just for his disciples. "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." He says that to each one of us. So if you are his follower, Jesus has a mission for you. He wants you to come on mission with him. What is that mission? Well, there's the big mission God sent Jesus to do. He sent his son into the world to do what? To save the world. The mission of Jesus, how was he sent by the Father? To draw people out of death and into life. Through his death and resurrection, he calls people into the family of God. That's the mission of Jesus, to save people from a lost eternity into a full eternity of life with him. That's his mission, and he gives us, his church, that mission to follow. To continue, to proclaim that good news, to share that good news, to invite people from a lost world into relationship with him. From a situation where they are in darkness and death to being in light and life. And we're to carry on that mission. That's the big picture, right? That's what Jesus has called his church to do. But each one of us as individuals is going to have a part to play in that. And it's going to be different for us all. Okay, we'll all have a part to play, based on who we are and what God's put on our hearts. So for Bronwyn, that was street children. For Tim, that was unreached peoples. For us, it might be something different. It might be a global cause. It might be caring about the rights of the unborn. It might be being concerned about the sex trafficking industry. It might be a global cause. It might be a local cause. It might be the person down the road, the neighbour who's lonely. It might be the colleague a few desks down who's struggling, going through a bereavement or a divorce. It might be the children that your child befriends at school who are having a hard time. Whatever it is, God puts things on our hearts. He gives us each a role to play as part of his mission. It might be something in the church. Maybe he's given you a desire, a passion for teaching adults or children, a passion for organizing or for creativity or for study, for whatever it might be. God gives us each a part to play in the big mission he's called his church to, which is to invite people from death into life. So what's your mission? That's the question. What's your mission? What's God put on your heart? Another way of asking the question, what do you get excited about? Or what do you get annoyed about when it's not done? To see it from the other side. What's your mission? Maybe you don't know. A good place to start is, well, love the people that God's given you to love. That's what he's called all of us to. The people around you, the people in your home, in your workplace, in your neighbourhood. Maybe you've got a very clear idea of what God's called you to, maybe not. Whatever it is, find it and give yourself to it, and that will keep you going through the ups and downs of life. Jesus has got a mission for every one of his followers. He's given us all a part to play in his big mission. But it doesn't just end there. Jesus doesn't just send us out on our own. He doesn't say in John 20, peace be with you, and off you go, does he? He says, peace be with you, and as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. That's really important. We mustn't miss that. We mustn't go so quickly to the mission that we forget the how of Jesus' mission. As the Father has sent me. So what does that mean? Well, we need to be really clear what that means from an understanding of who God is, okay? So it's very easy when we talk about God as Trinity and God as Father and Son and Spirit to think about three gods. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And they all kind of do their own thing. And that is not what Christianity teaches, what the Bible teaches about God. So bear with me here. This might feel technical, but it's really important, okay? We don't worship three gods. We worship one God in three persons. So three persons existing as one God. Right, so everything the Father does, the Son does. The Son and the Spirit share in the Father's life. The one God shares one will, one heart, one passion, one desire, one purpose. So Jesus says, I don't do anything on my own. I only do what I see my Father doing. Everything Jesus does, the Father does. What that means when we come to the idea of Jesus being sent is that the Father doesn't send Jesus out to do his thing over there. All right? The Father sends Jesus to do our thing. He says, off you go, do our thing on earth. Everything Jesus does is what the Father does. That's really important because what that means for us is that when Jesus sends us on mission, he doesn't say to us, off you go, over there, do your thing. What Jesus says to us is, off you go, do our thing. Right? He gives us a heart for things because that's what his heart is. He gives us passions and desires because he cares about those things. He sends us because he wants to go himself. Why do we all have different gifts? Anyone ever wondered that? Why do we all care about different things? We all have different passions because God cares about all those things and he's God. He's bigger than us. So he says, I care about those street children. Let's go and do something about it together. I care about those unreached people groups. Let's go and do something about it together. I care about that colleague of yours that's having a hard time. Let's go and pray for them together. I care about that neighbor. Let's go and invite them over for a meal together. Jesus cares about the things he's put on your hearts. That's why he's given you that passion. That's why he wants you to follow him into his mission. See the stunning implication of this. What Jesus is saying is, my relationship with God, we're different, but we're so close, we're inseparable. It's the relationship that I've called you into. The relationship that I have with each of my followers. We're distinct, but we're so close, we're inseparable. Jesus and his followers, that applies to us. It applies to you and me. It's stunning. It's almost unimaginable to comprehend. Now, maybe you're here and you're thinking, I'm not a follower of Jesus. I'm not there. And this isn't really making sense to me. Going on mission, being sent by him, being given a heart for things. Well, it's not your mission if you're not following him, but the relationship with him is something that he invites everyone into. It involves a certain death to yourself, and that's not comfortable. It involves a humbling of yourself, but it's an invitation into a life beyond that death, which is far more wonderful than anything you can imagine. And it's an invitation into a mission which can keep us going, a mission which can keep us steady when the storms of life hit, a horizon that we can fix our eyes on. We all go through ups and downs, big ones, small ones. We all go through them. What's going to keep us going? Being on mission with Jesus gives us a fixed point, knowing that we're heading somewhere, knowing that we're going with him, and knowing that he's going with us, knowing that what he's called you to, he's given you that heart because he cares far more than you ever could. So what is it? Why not talk to God about it? Why not say to God, what have you called me to? What's the part that you've given me to play in your mission? Why not ask him? Ask him to make it clear. Ask him to give you that sense of excitement about what he's calling you to do. Talk to him and listen. He comes to his disciples, risen, alive, and he comes to us. Risen, alive, active, at work in his church. And he's inviting us to join him in what he's doing.